I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Time for another podcast, time for another month, and a very successful month on the Rebel Yell podcast, Pete. It's been a great month of fixtures, a great month of results, so we've kind of pulled our finger out. But starting off, it wasn't such a great start to the month for us for our award ceremony, because we didn't win, but it's a taking part that counts, isn't it?
James, to be such a young podcast in our infancy, to be nominated for the Football Content Awards was such an honour. We didn't come away with the prize, and there was a lot of other very good podcasts there that have been established for a long time.
Yeah.
So just to be there was a privilege. I enjoyed the night, apart from the beer prices, £6 for a 330ml bottle of beer.
Wow. Did you get through your quarter bottle of wine on the table very quickly then?
I think I don't drink wine, but occasionally I do, but Spencer had one glass, I think.
Yeah. It was. I unfortunately was on holiday, so I couldn't be there, but I had the photo sent and it looked like a really fun night. But that was sort of the last sort of coming of Spencer in October, really, wasn't it? Because as you might have noticed, he's not on the line tonight because, bless him, he's still getting over his case of COVID. So all the best, Spencer. We look forward to seeing you back around soon. I just think you're spending time with your cat after that soppy post you put on Facebook tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
you did say COVID's got you all soppy, but I'm pretty sure all the time down the club he sits there moaning about his cat. But you know, you cannot ever, the bond between a cat and its owner is just unbreakable, as I would know.
Yeah, I don't think this is what the viewers have tuned in for, to be honest. We do wish Spencer all the best. I'm praying he hasn't got long COVID, actually, because this has gone on for a couple of weeks there. So,
well, it's not even that. It's the fact his taste and smell still not coming back. And that's just, can you imagine living life without taste or smell? It'd be awful.
Well, some of the houses I visit on my travels, it'd probably be a blessing.
Smell would be all right, yeah. You probably taste it some of the time, not just the smell, some of those houses you do. But, I mean, yeah, as you say, it was, you know, not being negative, just a bit of a joke, but, you know, it was an amazing achievement to even get there. So, obviously, thank you for the guys that listened to us. And, obviously, it wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning and Nature's Health Box, who have supplied, you know, all sorts of Rebel Yell, and the Supporters Association for setting up the Rebel Yell brand and, you know, bringing it to the future and sort of what it is today. Because, you know, I think it is a start of something good. We will be back, I'm sure, and maybe next time we'll win. But I mean, as you say, if you look at the other nominees, they were mainly non-league podcasts in general. It wasn't really club specific, so to get a club specific podcast into that final category was an achievement, Pete.
Yeah, and I think they should have probably a club specific one rather than ones that listen to, like, you had BBC Radio Hartford, people like that. But one of the funniest things of the whole night was every time Sky TV won an award, they just got booed.
Really? Did what sort of awards were they winning? Like Sky TV, what awards were they winning?
Oh, Premier League content, things like that. You know,
but did they have any of the big wigs from Sky there? Did you see, or was it all the producers sort of thing rather than the presenters?
I think it was more producers and stuff because. Yeah. You know, there wasn't many I recognised.
Yeah, but have you got any stories from the night? I mean, I know there's probably some things you're not going to repeat because I know Spencer said some things on a night which you don't really want to incriminate anyone, not you.
Well, no, there's a few people who obviously partook in recreational drugs.
had it been snowing in London that night?
I think it might have been because on the next table someone was holding up a cardboard box saying gear ? Like they're in the market for it and they'd ran out. So yeah, it was a bit of an eye opener with these youngsters these days. They seem to
it was a strange world. Shame, to be fair, but I guess maybe that's the world of media and, you know, the London thing. We don't have that kind of lifestyle here on the South Coast, do we, Peter?
Can't bloody afford it down here.
it was a real privilege and honour, I guess, to be nominated and taken into that final. It was great that you guys could turn up for it. As you say, it's a shame we didn't come away with it, but just to sort of have a bit of networking and be up in that award category was fantastic. So thank you all that voted. Thank you for the got us there. And fingers crossed for next year. Moving on, though, Pete, October. What was your prediction at the end of the last podcast? It was 12 out of 12, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm always going maximum points, aren't I? Because I've got so much faith in the team.
Yeah.
But we've done 13 out of 15 points.
And that's not bad at all to only lose points against the top of the table Enfield at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically.
No, so we started the month off without a fixture because of the us leaving a couple. Was that the one we meant to play Hornchurch, I think? Was that first Saturday of the month?
It wouldn't have been Hornchurch. I can't remember who it was.
It was a team that, whatever it was, it had a team. So we had a weekend off. We had a bye week, as they say, in American sports. And we started the month off with Bishop Stortford, where we beat them 3-1 at home. A very, very convincing win.
Well, we were 2-0 up at half-time. Went 3-0 up early in the second half. It looked quite comfortable. And they got one back in the 66th minute. So, again, clean sheet escaped us, unfortunately. But their player, James Baker, who came on for them towards the end, he was in the second half. He was a decent player, I thought. He looked dangerous and he got a goal.
Yeah, no, it was... We came with the points. That's all that matters. And we went on to another. So we played, to be fair, looking at what we played this month, we played pretty much all teams in and around that top spot at the moment. Because we then moved on to Kingstonian, who are well up there as well. And a 4-3 thriller away.
Well, yeah, they were top at the time, weren't they?
They were. So we nudged them off after a 4-3 win. And I wasn't at that one, but you were.
Well, story of the game was Ollie Pearce's first half hat trick. He put us ahead, but they quickly equalised in the 26th minute. But then Ollie Pearce, quick fire double, both within 10 minutes of half time, 3-1 up at half time. But then, second half, it was a game of two halves, basically. We should have been probably out of sight at first half, but they came back into it. And that looked really, really good the second half. They brought Aaron Lamont on in the second half. Apparently, he missed a kickoff because of work commitments, so he couldn't start. And then, he turned the game in that midfield in a way. And they came back to 3-3 all. And then Jesse Starkey had a free kick at a bit of an angle down by the corner flag. But the goalie flapped it, went over him in the net.
So
that was the winner.
A little worldy free kick there from Starkey putting that in. Well, or would you say goalie, fluke?
Goalie should have saved it.
Yeah, but he didn't. And that's the balls.
Yeah, and that was his 75th minute. And that was it. And then Worthing, you know, the last 15 minutes, we controlled the game well then. Mm. The first half hour, just second half, I thought Kingstonian were absolutely outstanding, to be honest.
Still, with what non-league football's like, having a one-goal lead is too nervy for me at times because, you know, you see how quick the game can change even more so than the professional game.
Yeah, I'm glad you wasn't on commentary. But then again, I had Toby Carver on commentary and he was having kittens.
it's a thing. You can keep yourself calm and composed, but these co-commentators, I mean, I don't know how, like, it is like the fan zone that used to be on Sky all those years ago. It really genuinely is. We move on with the fixture this month. Enfield Town, the only game we've dropped points, but we were winning. Pete, was it a disappointment for them to equalise, or was it fully deserved? Did you go away disappointed from that game? I'm sure you're going to say no, but obviously being in the lead and then, you know, having to think we could have taken all 3 points.
There was their equaliser from Fall in the 70th minute. There was a ball forward from left back, up the wing. It was slightly angled ball, but then Aaron Racine's come across to try and win the header, but their players got in front of him. I think Adam Cunnington it was, and he got a slight little flick on, and it just fell into the path of Mo Farr. Now, Joel Colbran was a bit too close to the wing, but I think he was playing him onside just about. Mm. Again, it's difficult to see on the highlights, but I think he was just about onside, but he got through on goal. And basically, Mo Farr, one of the top scorers in the league this season, he's just not going to miss those chances. But then they had a chance right at the death to win the game. A ball came in, a whipped in free kick, and a player got on the end of it, but put it wide. And then, unfortunately,
was that a like sort of head and hand sort of thing, almost like, oh God.
It was. I couldn't believe he'd missed it. If you heard the commentary, I said, I can't believe he's missed that. But then we go at the other end, and then there's a great ball in, and Tom Schlazer with a header about 8 yards out, and it just goes over the top of the bar where you think he should probably be burying that. But over the course of the game, I think 2-2 was probably a fair result.
Yeah. But were you disappointed or a bit gutted?
I was.
Did we take our chances?
Yeah, but again, that's Enfield Town haven't dropped any points at home this season. We're the first team to take points away from there. Mm. The same with Kingstonian. We were the first team to take points off Kingstonian at home. So you come away from it, tough place to go. I wasn't disappointed.
I have to say,
Deshaun Golding at the end of the game, mm-hmm. when I saw him briefly, and he said, sorry, we didn't win. And I went to the changing rooms to go and get Adam for the interview. And the Worthing boys were down, and the Enfield boys were virtually celebrating that result. So, you know, it shows you the difference between the mentality.
Well, as we've always said, a cup game, it's everyone that plays Worthing this season is going to be treated like a cup final, to be honest, because they know, mm-hmm. like, we're proving it once again. Why?
Yeah, but Enfield were top of the table at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, you know, wasn't too disheartened with the 2-2.
But then, I mean, the thing is, and then we had another clash, Lewis Wanderers at home the following week on Saturday, 23rd of October. And Pete, I think you're still taking heart medication for that, aren't you?
What a match.
Yeah, it sounded like a right thriller. But you said in the Away Boys chat, and I think you put it on your Twitter, you're expecting goals that day, because we had talked about it off air previous weeks, like, they're going to come and attack. We like attacking football. They're not going to sit back and play Worthing at their game. It's going to be end to end. And but if you've been a betting man, you should have put a bet on, mate, because you said they're going to be goals. I mean, did you predict that there were going to be 9 goals, 5 in the favour of Worthing?
I didn't. But if anyone heard, I had a co-commentator that day, David Tully, and after sort of 20 odd minutes, and he went, this could be a 5-4. And he got the score absolutely bang on. I didn't predict the score.
No.
But yeah, it was unbelievable. I would rewatch that game. If it was 90-minute video out there, I'd love to sit and watch it again, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was that good a game of football. But I think that was the breath of fresh air, because we've had Kingstonian, Lewis, Enfield, who went toe to toe with us.
Yeah.
Rather than teams who just try and sit back and defend against us, and then we've got to break them down. So it was nice to have that. And I think that's what made Kingstonian a classic game in a bit of a different way. Enfield wasn't as good, but it was still a good game. And then the Lewis was just an absolute classic.
Yeah. It was when, as you know, I was on a cruise ship on my holiday, and we can't get internet out at sea unless you pay an extortionate amount. But
I know. I could tell it was so quiet, James.
Yeah, I know. You know, you shut up for once, didn't it? You got some break for me for a couple of weeks. But it was quite weird because although you couldn't go on the internet, notifications kept coming through. So it's obviously something to do with a firewall. So I was getting notifications and football web pages kept coming up and I'm sitting there having a drink and literally every 5-10 minutes, Worthing, Lewis. I was like, what is going on here? That's a classic and a half. But God, it was exciting that day. And I said to my wife, Pete's going to be having almost kittens.
Well, to be 2-0 down after 13 minutes.
Did you think it was game over at 2-0?
I didn't, just because the way the game was. Yeah. It was like, no, this, you know, still bags of time. I think I said that in the commentary. It's still bags of time to get back into this. And we weren't playing badly. They've got that Joe Taylor up front. And their first goal was a penalty, which opened the game. But then Ollie Pearce gets us back to 2-1 in the 16th minute. And you're like, well, it's game on there. But then you go 5-2 ahead.
Yeah, and it's like, why?
And looking then so comfortable. And then again, Joe Taylor steps up in the 75th minute with a penalty. And then a wonder strike from Ollie Taylor in the 77th minute. Got 13 minutes where you're like, oh.
Bricking it. I don't think that's when I would have been not been able to watch that game, I don't think.
But we were, again, though, what I would say is we were controlled in possession.
Yeah, I get you.
We calmed the game down. Made a couple of changes, calmed the game down, and I think that's what's going well for us at the moment is whenever Adam's making all the right changes, and if there is just one goal in it or whatever, it seems to work.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say.
I mean, like you only managed to catch your breath and you got it back in time for Tuesday. Tuesday night, it was a first night under the lights of the new pitch and new season. Well, I say on the new pitch, but, you know, we did have some pre-season friendlies, but that was in the summer when it was quite warm. We were wearing shorts and T-shirts. We're now in jackets and jeans and jumpers. But wasn't it nice to be back at Woodside under the lights?
It was good. Great atmosphere.
Well, over 1,000 people on a Tuesday night when it was cold. I mean, that's amazing. And it was a good match. Well, it wasn't a great match.
Well,
it was, second half was good, but the first half was pretty bang average.
Yeah, 1-0 down at half time.
Undeservedly, I'd say.
Yeah, undeservedly as always. But what we noticed from the commentary box was there's a line of six at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd done this commentary on my own, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, because you kept on waving at me in the tannoy booth. You miss me.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't give that far. But, so 1-0 down at half-time. And, yeah, there was a mistake at the back, wasn't there? It was a bit of I think the midfield and defenders, miscommunication, ball broke, Afula breaks through. And, yeah, he done well there. They turned it in from a very tight angle. So it was, you know, half-decent goal, you could say, but we caused our own problems, which we always tend to do, to be honest. But then second half, we managed to open them up.
Yep, and we finished game 2-1 winners, another win to complete our league month. As you say, 13 points out of 15. And it just, you know, again, like, it just feels great right now at Woodside. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be parts of the season where we might drop a couple of points, but isn't it great to see the fans coming in, you know, a nice little feel around the place, you know, the pitch looks great and, you know, the atmosphere is fantastic. And to see us actually performing and doing those results on the pitch, because as I, for one, I'll put my hands up and say, I think I spoke too soon because I was obviously in August. We didn't perform that great after an amazing pre-season. And I thought, oh God, is it going to be one of these seasons? But it looks like Hinch and the boys have turned it around in the coaching squad. And, you know, we seem to pull the fingers out and we're producing some great goals, great games. And, you know, look at our strike force. I mean, Deshaun Golding has come into his own. I think, you know, after maybe a bit of a slow start, I'm really impressed with Deshaun, and Ollie's banging the goals in left, right and centre.
Yes, all about Golding and Pearce at the moment. They're absolutely brilliant. But did you notice something in the Merson game?
What's that?
Their goalkeeper.
What about him?
Toby Ball. September 26, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Last season.
Yeah.
When we played Kingstonian away, the game we won 4-0.
Yeah.
He was our goalkeeper for that game.
Oh, was he? Oh,
well, I think that was his one and only appearance for us.
I guess, was he just a free agent or something at that time? Or was he playing for us and as a reserve keeper? Or because we never really have a reserve keeper.
I don't know, to be honest. It was just, I was looking through the sheets.
It's either him or Jack Fagan.
I'd seen some comment and I was like, hold on. I've got the team sheets here because I keep the team sheets. Sad like that.
He's got his A4 folder, his binder.
So that was free. But going back to your point, again, it's just nice to see Pearce banging them in.
Ollie, we still want you to come on the podcast. So if you tried to do a Ricky Aguirre and sort of pious every time he tried to approach you and said something like you don't have Skype or Zoom or you don't have a phone. I'm pretty sure that's an excuse you've used to me before, but he walks
out of training with a phone in his hand all the time.
Yeah, so I know. We know that. We see his Instagram. Yeah, come on next, Ollie, maybe on. Next month to put the icing, the cherry on top of the cake or the icing of the cake. We got through with 10 men against Chertsey on the last game of the month, which was the FA Trophy third qualifying round into the first round proper, where we will be playing Hayes and Yedding United. But that Chertsey Town obviously coming out of a midweek debacle at the club of their player manager terminated his own contract after headbutting Bracknell Town's one of their players, which no room for that in a game. But we were wondering what sort of atmosphere there'd be on that Saturday, Pete. And they gave us a bit of a game because it was a poor first half. Going down to 10 men, which by Ty Dunsey, I don't think it was a red card. He doesn't think it was. It was kind of a 50-50. But Deshaun getting that goal right in just before the interval, and that sort of bowed us onto the second half to get that second goal.
Yeah, but like you say, not a classic game. But it was a controlled performance by Worthing. I think I alluded to it in the interview when I spoke to Adam after that. When we went down to 10 men, I felt we controlled the game more than we did with 11 in a weird sort of way. And he sort of agreed with that in his answer. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it was a poor game. Obviously, again, they played on the counter-attack, which we have to put up with. But, yeah, I thought professional job as far as I'm concerned. And I feel a cup run coming on.
I do. I mean, Hayes and Yedding is going to be the challenge because they're unbeaten, I think, in the top of their league, which are at the same level as us, but in the South Central region.
That's it.
They're unbeaten at the moment. So that's going to be a challenge. Two very good teams play each other. Should be a classic. I'm looking forward to that.
And they're in the first round of the FA Cup as well. So depending if they stay in that competition, how far they want to get in that, plus their league campaign, other campaigns, you've got to think, and they're not Dorking it as well in the last round, their national league. So
it's going to be a good game, and I'm looking forward to that in the middle of November. But let's get the thoughts of the gaffer. We've spoken about this month and our thoughts of this month, so we'll sit down with Adam Hinchelwood, who we spoke to at Woodside.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Adam, thanks for joining us on Rebel Your Podcast on a cold winter's night here at Woodside. 13 out of 15 in October. You must be pleased with the performances of the team this month.
No, yeah, obviously a great points total that we've managed to get this month. And yeah, I think there's been some good performances within that. I think we've, utilised the squad well. When we have that many games that we've had, I think the whole squad's going to be needed, and I think we've used that quite well. And yeah, it's good to see that. I think one or two now are just starting to have a bit of belief in themselves and play with a bit of confidence, so it's nice to see.
And going into October, when we saw the fixtures coming up, it's like with the league as it is, we all looked at it and thought this is going to be the toughest month probably the season, especially so early on. And to be unbeaten in that, as a fan, it's amazing. So as a team, and I'm sure the dressing room, we look like the team on the pitch are sort of all gelled, and the morale must be really good in the dressing room.
No, it certainly is, and I think that was evident on Saturday in the trophy game, went down to 10 men, and I think one or two players really stood up and led the team quite well. In particular, Ollie at the front, I thought he was excellent. He was running about, he was organising, and I thought he showed brilliant character in that game. And like I say, I think there's a lot of belief, and obviously getting wins and results and performances really does help with that. And I think, like I say, getting players now starting to hit the kind of levels. I think if anything, we'll be disappointed as a group, because we do aim for perfection, that we only drew at Enfield, to be honest. I think the two goals we conceded there were sloppy, and I thought we was the better team on the day. So we'd be a little bit disappointed if we're being sort of ultra critical, which I like to be, that we didn't come away with all points there, really. And that would have put us even better position. But yeah, we're still, nothing will change on our end. We'll continue to work hard and try and be a better team on Saturday.
Noticed with the Enfield game, when I came to the changing room to try and find you for the interview, that Worthing were a bit down, and Enfield in the next
just along. They were all cheerful. They'd really got a big game and they were at home. So it's a bit of a compliment to the team, isn't it?
No, it certainly is. I think that's the first points Enfield have dropped at home all season, I believe. That's just our sort of mentality and my mentality. And I think the players sort of know that, you know, I wouldn't be happy with coming away with a draw. We want to go, give a good account of ourselves and win games of football. So I think they're all sort of on the sort of same page. And seemed a little bit despondent. But, you know, it worked out a good point because we won the next couple of games. I think if we don't pick up wins after drawing away from home, then it does look a little bit worse. But I think we responded well. Like I say, we was a good performance, I thought, away from home at Enfield. It was a good performance, I think. You know, if we're looking back, then the Lewis scoreline probably flatters them a little bit.
I was going to say, we've had two classics, haven't we? The Kingstonian game, where you at the end said this great advert for non-league football, and then we have the Lewis game, which was even better than the Kingstonian game, in my opinion.
No, I agree, I think, you know, we went 2-0 down in that game as well, and still showed, you know, enormous belief to come in at half-time 3-2 up was really big on that day, and then scored just after half time. So the two goals just either side of half time really did help and set us down. And I think lots of confidence gained from them wins as well. You know, Kingstonians, Lewis and Enfield alongside Folkestone, and them boys are going to be in and around. They're not going to go anywhere. So we've got to continue to work hard and stay with the same sort of consistency that we've shown in the last few weeks.
Yeah. So sitting here, 5-point gap at the top of the league. Obviously, Folkestone, as you mentioned, got two games in hand on us, could draw level on points. How does it feel, though? Because generally, you break the season into quarters and we are a quarter of the way through now. How would you assess it so far? Is it where you want to be?
Yeah, I think, like, always remember, Alex Ferguson said the season don't start till sort of after Christmas in January, and that's when, as long as he's in and around the mix come Christmas time, then he always feels that, you know, after Christmas they can push on and have a go. So yeah, we know it's only, you know, October's just gone, you know, so we're early November and nothing's decided then, you know, so we know that, and all we can do is just concentrate on, you know, working on us being a better version of ourselves. And, you know, we can't afford to get complacent and look at the league table and let that happen, and we just got to make sure we try and get 3 points on Saturday.
I know you said at the beginning of the season on our first podcast you wanted a cup run this year. Fortunately, it wasn't going to be the FA Cup this season for unfortunate circumstances, but we're into the next round of the trophy. You put a strong side out on Saturday. Is that going to be going forward, like when we play Hastings, it's going to be a tough game? They're like right at our level, they're unbeaten so far this season. Will you be sort of playing the sort of first team squad on those games and trying to really go for that cup run, or are we going to see some of the fringe players coming in and around the squad?
It's a sort of bit of a balancing act with so many games. You know, the weather's sort of turning already. We've got Joel's filling his groins on Saturday, so, you know, Sam said, like, if he plays on Tuesday, he won't be available for the following Saturday, so he needs to probably rest because it's just an overuse sort of injury that he's getting. I think Marvin's potentially out for 4 weeks with a torn hamstring. Oh, really? So, you know,
that's a miss. That's
yeah, it is, and maybe that's because I played him in one too many games. So we do, at the same time, I want to be competitive in all the competitions, and I just try and balance the squad as best I can. I mean, we made a few changes. Will and Pat come in on Tuesday night, and you know, if that don't go right, then people say, you know, we shouldn't have rested anyone. But, you know, you've got to have faith in the squad of players we've got. And I think if, like, you look at my ball behind me, the squad of players, they're all vying for starting positions, and they all want to be out there, all want to be playing, and that's what we want. It's a case of seeing how everybody is, but we'll obviously try and play as strong a side as we possibly can in every game now.
Do you think, we've obviously got the Sussex Senior Cup coming up in November as well, drawn against Seaford, I think it is now we're playing. obviously people like Kyle O'Brien have been sort of in and around the squad. Do you think these are the games where you're giving them the opportunity to shine, and, you know, these games? Because obviously we want promotion, that's the number one thing, but obviously we want a cup run. But the things like the Sussex Senior Cup, are you going to see maybe some of the youth players that have played in the under-18s and sort of those teams playing in those cup games?
Yeah, I think that'd be a perfect opportunity to look at those boys, and I think, you know, they've shown by their good cup run that there's some good young players coming through. You know, the Maxwells, the Ollie Starkeys, the Kyles and that are pushing, and yeah, it'd be good to see them in sort of the first team environment, if you like, in them type of games. You've obviously got the Velocity Trophy as well, so it'd be another opportunity to look at.
Does that start this month as well?
I think it might start next month.
Okay.
But yeah, another opportunity to look at the whole entire squad and a few of the younger players as well. But yeah, if we get a few injuries this Saturday or people with tightness and that, then you've got to look at what's best for the squad and the long run, really. So yeah, I mean, I like yourselves, it's going to be a real tough game. I don't think there could have been a tougher draw really at this stage in the competition. But you know, both teams will be playing with lots of confidence, and we want to test ourselves against good teams and better opposition, just to see where we are, and you know, even know that the trophy run's going to do exactly that.
Yeah, like I said, at the start of the season, you had a big squad anyway. Obviously, a couple of people have moved on, Shaq and Alfie. Alfie,
yeah.
But we still got a big squad, so there's plenty of fringe players who think they should be in the team every week anyway. So probably a chance for them to get out on the pitch and prove that they're worthy of that place.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's only one way to show it, isn't it? By doing it, and you know, when you get your opportunity, like Pat and Will got their opportunity, and you know, didn't let themselves down and give a good account of themselves, and that's all you can keep saying to the entire squad. You know, you're going to be needed, and when your opportunity comes, you've got to be ready to go and take it. So and I think at the moment, sort of touch wood, we're quite lucky in terms of illnesses and that as well, because you know, there's not too much of that going around the squad at the moment. So if that starts hitting as well, then you know, Jesper missed tonight because he's got a bit of a cold, so he don't know how he's going to be. He needs to recover, and then is he going to be completely up to speed for Saturday? So you know, it's lots of bodies are going to be needed, I think, and you know, we want to do well in all the cups that we're in now and carry on our momentum in the league as well. So in order to do that, we're going to need a big squad to call upon.
Yeah, I don't think we've had any COVID problems this season so far with the squad at all. I think there was a couple of isolations at one point.
Yeah, a couple of isolations early on, I think.
Yeah, but since then we've been okay. Yeah,
been relatively...
touch wood.
Don't jinx it now. You said that. Why have you brought it up, Pete? Yeah. So you watch us all go down with COVID now for the weekend. But no, we've been
in there playing.
Yeah, we had a couple of isolations and stuff early on in the season. But yeah, like the way they're sort of anticipating it's going to go, it could come into force again, you know, especially as the weather starts turning now. So yeah, we can't sort of worry about what might be. You know, all we can do is just concentrate, and you know, if it does happen, they've got to isolate and just deal with it as it comes. Yeah, basically.
Before we round it up, Alex Parsons, how long has he got left out? Because I saw him on, was it Saturday? I think last Tuesday he was here walking without crutches. And what I saw, is he here? Yeah. So, how far is out he from sort of getting back to training?
Yeah, I think he was out of the like knee brace now. He's just waiting to go and see his surgeon, and whether he needed to have like a little keyhole just to tidy something up. So I think once he sees his surgeon, I believe it's next week, he'll know a lot more of where he is and stuff like that. But I think it's progressing as well as it can do, and even if he does need a keyhole just to tidy something up, we shouldn't put him back too much.
So could he be scoring the winner on the 27th against Bognor?
Was
that too soon?
I think that's probably
too soon.
I'm hoping maybe 2-3 weeks after that.
Okay, so be far away, so sort of end of January.
Mid-January. So, yeah, that'd be a massive boost for us.
Massive thing, yeah. Well, Adam, thank you for joining us. We won't keep you any longer. Another great month. Fingers crossed when we speak to you at the end of November, it'll be another great month. We'll be right up there at the top. So.
Yeah, and I predicted only one draw away.
I said 12 out of 15.
Yeah, you wanted your feet. Yeah, and I've gone maximum points in November.
Oh, okay.
Well, Hornchurch. Hornchurch is the hardest one away from home, in my opinion. Yeah, but they're all hard games. I know that.
Exactly. Well, hardest one will be Potter's Bar on Saturday, I think. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's the way we've got to look at it. Every game's going to be the toughest one. Next one will be the toughest one. So that's what we'll do.
One game at a time.
Exactly that.
And don't look back. Look forward, because you're unbeaten in 10 there, 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a good run.
Ted Lasso,
yeah. Believe.
Oh, no problem. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Thanks to Adam Hinchworth for sitting down for us. Always takes time when he can. He's a good guy, as we all know. But, you know, to actually sit down and take some time for the podcast, which he doesn't have to do, but we do appreciate it. And he must get sick of talking to you, Pete. That's why he swapped out Nathan and Cam from time to time. He's sick of the sight of you, I think. I
said that to him to myself, to be honest.
But no, thank you. Thank you very much, Adam, for sitting down and, you know, good thoughts and positive thoughts moving forward into November. As you say, a cup run, hopefully, Pete. We're not the only team we're going to talk about this one. The women's team, bit of a mixed month for them, as we sort of will sit down with John and their player, Kiwi Price, but they've had a mixed month. They're through in the FA Cup, which is brilliant. You know, they beat New Haven at the beginning 6-0, and then they beat AFC Littlehampton 5-0, which is great to see them in their first round proper the FA Cup. What an achievement. An amazing achievement.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and because of our cup progress, we've only actually played three league fixtures, a 4-3 loss away to Denham, a win away to Saltdean, we won 4-1, which is fantastic. Then a Millwall game ending off October, as Pete, you were there, and you said it was one of those games, a bit like the Bognor game. We probably didn't deserve to lose. It just, we couldn't get the ball in the back of the net, and they had two chances and took them.
Basically, I thought we controlled the game. They played really well on the day, just couldn't put the ball in the net.
No.
Yeah, and you have days like that in football. It's just one of them things, isn't it?
That's what we love and hate about football. It's frustration. Yeah,
That's why I'm always composed on the commentary, you see, because I can go, yeah.
I swear you take some football, calming tablets before. I'd have to do it if I was a lead.
You need something.
Yeah, I know. Some what's it called? What do they say they take where people like calm them down? Valium, that's what I need. Yeah. I think sometimes I think you need to have a supply of Valium there next to you, Pete. Well, I think without any further ado, we've sat down with Kiwi Price this month, one of the women's team players. Great to hear from her. Thank you for giving your time. And then after that, we'll hear from John. So over to you, guys and girls.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Joining us this month is a women's player, Kiwi Price. Kiwi, thank you for spending time. How have you been? How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Been pretty good. Had a lovely week kind of off with the uni.
Yeah, you've been chilling in this lovely weather of British weather we've been having, yeah?
Yeah, isn't it nice?
Yeah, I know, it's beautiful, isn't it? Before we crack on with like speaking to you about your sort of career and everything, we just what are your thoughts about this month? We've had a 6-0 win at New Haven to go through to the next round of the FA Cup. Denham was a 4-3 loss. Saltdean were 1-4 win, and then AFC Littlehampton was a 5-0 win, and then Millwall lost. So a bit of a mixed bag of results this month. How's it in the camp at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, obviously regarding the game that just went, obviously Sunday, a bit annoying on our behalf because we had so many chances, just couldn't finish them. But for the games that we've won, we're really, really positive. The performances that were really, really good, really strong. And everyone kind of like had each other's back, especially in the Saltdean game. Like everyone was so like hungry for the win. And like, say something went wrong, we just pick each other's heads up and go again. But it wasn't like it was a really, really good like team performance, in my opinion, for that. But in terms of it in the camp, I think it's pretty positive still. Kind of take it as a team rather than just like this individual loss.
Yeah, of course, because what John said throughout the season, obviously he's a new coach this year, and there's a bunch of players he's brought from his past, and you've already had some of the Worthing ladies there, and you seem to have all really clicked and gelled, and we're seeing those results on the pitch. So it must be quite exciting to be part of a team that looks like they're pushing for the future.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It is lush. We all gelled really quickly, actually, which was obviously really promising from obviously going through pre-season to the league. Even the performances team-wise from pre-season to now has been pretty dramatic, to be fair.
And probably a little bit of a weird pre-season as well with all the COVID and everything that's going on, and no one really knows what's going on. But fingers crossed, so far so good in the season. But just looking forward, in the FA Cup, we've been drawn to Hounslow Women, which they're a top team, they're a higher team. But they're on a bit of a losing run at the moment. So definitely up there for the win with Worthing. Good chance there.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, especially if we play with the desire that we had in the Saltdean game. if we're all up for it and really determined to win, I think it'll be a really good game.
Yeah, we'll be excited. So I know Gina's got a couple of questions to ask about your career and everything.
Just can you tell us a little bit about your journey into football, sort of how you started out, how you came to be at Worthing, and specifically why you want to play for Worthing?
Yeah, of course. I started off at Academy. Obviously, last week you had Sarah on, or whenever the last episode was, and I was with her for, like, playing with her for so many years. That's how we kind of know each other, via Brighton Academy and all that sort of stuff. So I kind of went through there. I did leave, I think it was one or two seasons, but it wasn't on the trot. It was kind of like to other teams because I was kind of like not liking it, for example. So I just kind of took time for myself, came back into level again, and then I got injured, pretty serious injury. I did my ACL, but did it like three times after each other. So I had a really, really long time out. I think it was almost 4 years I was out. And last season was like my first season back from my injury. Obviously, of course, it wasn't a full season. Because of COVID, and then I came back this season again because I wasn't going to come back, I'll be completely honest, purely because I wasn't enjoying football last season. But then obviously the new managerial role changed and the whole team dynamic kind of changed. It was interesting, and I started to like it again. So I came back to Worthing this season because all of my friends were there, like people I knew were there. It was a new start, it was a new challenge, so I thought, cool, let's go ahead. And obviously pre-season was great, the girls are great, and even now the girls are great, like the team, like environment and the social side of things are great.
So has John reinvigorated your love for football then, would you say, this season?
Yeah, I think he is a big, like, I don't want to give him too much of the credit.
Yeah, yeah, we got him on after this. We got him on after you, so we won't tell him, and we don't want to make him.
But yeah, no, I think for him being different and someone I haven't really played under before, I think it was cool to have like a different kind of perspective on different managing, like how he does it himself. I thought it was fun, and his sessions, even early on in the preseason, were fun. Like, I was enjoying it. It wasn't a chore for me. So yeah, he's a big part of it, but we don't tell him that.
We won't.
Do you live locally, Keely, or do you have to travel a bit to Worthing?
I live in Chichester, so it's not like a massive trek. No, not really.
Now, I saw you used to play for Chichester, didn't you? Is that right? If I'd done a little bit of scouting on the website. What was the levels like there with compared to sort of where we are now in Worthing? Is it completely different setup, or would you say very similar?
In terms of probably social side, I was quite young when I started. So I joined at about 15. I couldn't play for a couple of games because I wasn't 16 yet. So obviously being quite young there with the different age ranges of players there, personally for me, the social side wasn't as good as it is now. But now I'm actually playing to enjoy it. Whereas there, I was playing for more of a competitive like challenge for me because I was still really young and still football at that time was like my life. but in terms of like talent and stuff, I think it'll be pretty on par, to be fair.
Yeah. So you say football was your life, or it is your life. What team do you support out of football, out of Worthing? Obviously, Worthing's your number one, of course. You know, we know that. But do you support a women's team, or do you support a men's team?
I think women's side of football.
Yeah.
It would probably be like maybe like a Man City.
Yeah.
But then like the male side of it would be Liverpool.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, that's a bit controversial. Like, you know, it's quite one or the other. Yeah, there you go. At least you didn't say Man United and Liverpool, because that would have been even worse.
Oh, God, no. There'd be fights in my house if I said that.
How do you find sort of balancing your commitments outside of football, Keavy? Obviously, we've got loads of stuff, jam-packed schedule. So sort of thinking about sort of training and any other sort of physical training that you do during the week plus games. How do you fit it all in?
I don't really planned to kind of do it. It's almost like I have like a, obviously training would be normally Thursdays. Obviously if it changes, it can't be helped. So Thursday evenings was always football, and then I have uni during the week, obviously work as well around that. It's just kind of like planning my day by day kind of thing. Obviously if I go to the gym, I'll fit the gym in the time that I have between work and uni normally, because that's the only time I can really do it. But it's just kind of like taking it by ear really, because obviously locally, I mean, Worthing isn't too far from Chichester. Not much, it's like half an hour maximum.
That's if you avoid the bypass.
Yeah, true. But yeah, no, it's not too bad. I mean, it's just playing it by ear through the week, I think.
What do you do for work, Keegan?
I mean, I only just changed. I was working at Petworth, but I've gone to Tesco's now because it's just convenient for me.
There's a couple of women's team at Tesco's, isn't there?
I don't know. I think Ella definitely, because she keeps talking about it. But I don't know who else, to be fair, but I know Ella does.
Pete, you're not going to get their discount card. Like, you know, there's only it's only family and friends, so don't try and encroach on the discount card.
more excitingly, Kiwi, what is it that you're studying? Are you studying something sort of sports or fitness related?
Yeah, I'm doing like sports science and like the physical activity side of things like that.
Is that a local university?
Yeah, it's a Chichester University.
Okay, great. So that, yeah, that makes things easier for you.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners on the Rebel Yell podcast want to sort of follow you and your football journey, what's the best sort of place on social media for them to follow you?
Twitter or Instagram, to be fair. My Twitter handle is Price Kiwi, and then my Instagram is Kiwi Price.
Make it easy. Price. There you go.
Yeah.
Simple. Yeah. Pretty standard. Pretty easy.
Yeah. Very easy. So what's the future for Kiwi Price then? Like, you know, are you going to be around the football game for a long time? Is that your goal to sort of go professional, or is it more sort of the sort of fitness and science side of thing you're looking into?
Used to be to go like higher, but now it definitely is just to have fun. Really because of that injury. I kind of like definitely lost a bit of love for it. So like me playing now is definitely me to play to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Obviously I'm being competitive, I want to win, but it's definitely more to enjoy and to like love football again.
That's the most important part sometimes of the game. You don't want to be doing something you don't love just to chore it like that. I think before we go, Gina has got one burning question that she always asks every player if you listen. Gina, do you want to get out of the way?
Oh yeah, this is a crucial question. Kiwi Price, what is your favourite biscuit?
Oh my gosh, for dunking, definitely rich tea, or like if I'm in like a chocolatey mood, Bourbon in a tea is actually quite good. But without Dunkin', it will probably be like a McVitie's like chocolate one, pretty
chocolate
standard.
Digestive. Yeah.
But yeah. I think she's not really allowed to promote them at the moment because obviously our sponsor, Nature's Health Box, have been dropping off some very nice energy bars that you should be dunking in your tea instead, shouldn't they?
That's number one is them.
Yeah,
and then it goes Bourbon, and then it goes rich tea. Yeah.
But we all know deep down.
Yeah. But Kiwi, I think you like living life on the edge because rich tea biscuits, they get very soggy very quick. So
but if you get it at the perfect time.
That's it. You're living on the edge.
Yeah, I've got to live on the edge. It's fun, isn't it?
Living on the edge. No, it's a biscotti with an espresso for me because I can't stand tea. There you go. Gina looks in disgust right now.
That's a bit fancy, isn't it?
Well, you know, you've got to be poncy with your like bean to cup machine and everything like that. Anyway, I digress. But
who doesn't drink tea?
Me. I hate it. I literally hate it.
Weirdo.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but the thing is if I was on, if I need coffee for my to wake me up, tea doesn't wake me up, and you know, I need to sort of stay up through the night drinking a coffee. But we are really digressing, and Kiwi's probably sitting there going, I've got more important things to do than discuss your drinking habits right now. But I'd like to say, Kiwi, thank you so much for joining us and taking your time. Before you go, you've got one more thing to do, and that is nominate the person that is going to be on here next month. So maybe someone that, you know, has always said to you girls in the changing room, no, I'm not doing it. So this is your chance. This is your chance. Ooh. And we will give you full protection, the Rebel Yell protection.
Perfect. I think I'm going to nominate Gemma, to be fair. I think she'd be great.
There we go, Gemma, fantastic. And we will get Gemma on next month's podcast. So thank you so much for joining us. Good luck for the rest of the month. Fingers crossed we're in the next round of the cup because it's exciting. You've already gone one better than the men's team, but getting into the first round proper and everything. So well done. And we look forward to seeing you down at Woodside very soon. So Kiwi, thank you.
Yeah,
look after yourself.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Kiwi.
See ya.
Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Joined by women's manager, John Donoghue. John, a good month, would you say, in summary?
Yeah, I would. I think we've played week on week, which we didn't have at the beginning of the season. Nice to get lots of game time under the belt. Mm-hmm. We've played some really good games in terms of our performance, and we haven't quite been on it in others. But to be honest, I'm really proud of the players. I think they've been fantastic. Good mixture of players, younger and older players. And I really feel like we've moved so much more forward than we were from pre-season in terms of the performance.
Yeah. And a good little cup run going ahead because as we said in the last podcast, see if you can get one better than the men's. And you've done two better really because you started off the month with a fantastic win against New Haven 6-0 in the cup. And then you've beat AFC Littlehampton 5-0 to give you a tie in the first round proper versus Hounslow. And we said to Keevy earlier, you know, they might be higher up in the league, but they're on quite a bit of a poor run of results at the moment. So games there for the taking.
Yeah, I think the first two games, obviously, it was lovely to get through. I think I said in my interview on Sunday, I think that's the first time the women's team had got to the first round proper. You know, the team in terms of how long it's been around is still quite a young team in terms of when it started. So I think that's a real major thing for the club. Hounslow, yeah, you know, you've always got to think that, yes, there's a chance against a team that isn't doing so well, but you've also got to recognise and respect those players have still played at step three and we're at step five. So they may not be firing on all cylinders at the level they're at, but their players have still been used to performing at a high level.
But as the famous saying goes, the magic of the FA Cup, and we love a cup set. So we are all rooting for that anyway, and I'm sure lots of others will be.
Yeah, and it's a home draw, which is really good. We've been whoever's been drawing those, whether they draw the balls out or whether it's a computer thing, I don't know. But very pleased for the home draws. They've been fantastic to us.
Well, we know it's not Jack Pearce, so that's because obviously you'd be drawn up the other end of the country if it was him. But you know, there we go. I digress. But in the league, you've lost 2-1-1, which is sort of a mixed bag of results. Good win against Sault Dean, a tight match against Denham, and a frustrating result against Millwall. Thoughts on those?
I think performance against Sault Dean was everything you'd like from a local derby. We were fierce, we were aggressive, but we were also really positive in our play. So we played some good football. Yesterday against Millwall, we had all the game. We had loads of chances. I've nearly watched the whole game back because we get it recorded. And I'm looking at, if I didn't know the score, I'd look at it and go, that team, that red team, have played fantastically well. And they, of course, they've won the game. But we didn't, because we didn't finish our chances. Against Denham, I think we took our foot off the gas too much. You know, we thought that would be a bit of an easier game. And we got a big slap in the face from it, which was probably what we deserved, because we didn't perform very well.
With yesterday's game, John, obviously I was there. Like you say, how frustrating is it sitting on the touchline where you're dominating the game, you're making chances? Yeah. You know, we could have been 2-0 in 10 minutes. How frustrating is it for you as a manager not watching that ball hit the back of the net?
It's frustrating because we've done a lot of work the last few training sessions of how to keep good ball retention in the advanced areas, and how to move and create opportunities to play either through or over the opposition and get runs off the ball. So if it was purely an analysis on how we performed and took it into training, then you'd be absolutely ecstatic. But then you've still got to finish those chances off, and you know that the opposition are always going to get an opportunity. And they got an opportunity and scored close to the end of the first half. So in one way, you're really frustrated. But when you do get to look at the game back, knowing what the score is, you actually then try and look at the performance and you think, actually, how many times did they get in behind us? One, if any. How many times did they overwhelm us? None. How many times did we get through and create sort of 1v1s? I think it was five. We had lots of corners. So you're disappointed that you lose the game. But what you do is you try and look at all the elements that we did well. And I think we did so many things really well that we were talking in pre-season about that we didn't do very well. So I've tried to compliment the players on that. But obviously it's quite raw after a game. Because not that they... whether they listen to me or not, anyway, it's probably worse trying to talk to the players after the game anyway, because they're all thinking about the loss rather than the performance.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's difficult. The other thing I noticed yesterday was I thought the referee was a bit weak at times. You know, I know a lot of managers don't want to sort of talk about the referees and things, but I thought it was, you know, we was in a press box and we couldn't really hear a lot of what was going on, but it just seemed that any time they sort of called for a foul, he would give it, but he'd give it like about 6 seconds after it had been called for. And it was just, it was taking the play back. It was like really strange.
I think as players and managers, you always have a bad game. I think you always, every so often, it just doesn't happen. And I think the referee comes in that bracket.
Fair enough. Diplomatic answer.
Swerving it. Gina.
So, John, obviously October's been a really, really busy month on the pitch. Looking ahead to November, things are beginning to calm down a little bit. But out of the next 8 games, 6 of them are home matches for us. So out of sort of the next month or so, obviously we've got, you know, the cup game, which is really going to be one to get down for. Is there any other game that you think would be particularly worth sort of our listeners coming along to?
Well, hopefully they'll come along to all of them.
I thought he was going to say that.
But I suppose if you look at it, we've got, I'm just having a look at the fixtures now. We've got, we're playing Lewis development squad in the County Cup.
Obviously you want to beat them.
That's an away game on the 25th. So we've got Salt Dean. So they'll be quite keen to play us quite soon after we beat them the other week. So we're playing Salt Dean later on in the month of November. We've also got Dartford, who was sitting, I think they were second in the league at the time. And then we got new London Lionesses who used to be Millwall. So I guess I would say the Salt Dean one would be eagerly anticipated by both teams because it's a local derby as such.
Yeah, and if we just sort of think back to the weekend just gone, so last day of October, there was the, you know, a home game and a gate of 149, fantastic, which... Yeah. It's just a fantastic result, and those kind of numbers are higher than sort of some of the equivalent men's teams in the Isthmian League. And to get that kind of gate number for the women's team, I mean, you must be really pleased with that. And I know a lot of work is going on behind the scenes to pull in those numbers and to generate interest. Is there any one thing that you think has made a big difference there?
No, I think it's collective. I think, you know, we've got a wonderful stadium. That people know that they can go in there and they can sit undercover, they can sit in a great facility. We have the mascots in as well, and I think if we can get them regularly on home games, so that generates an interest in the young female players. Their parents come, and then that's a positive impact that they've come. We've got the volunteers who work on the day to give everyone a great time and on the safety side of things with the stewards. To be fair, we banged a few goals in at home, and even yesterday, although we lost, it was probably quite an exciting game to watch because it was by us more so, but we had lots of chances. So I think it's the collection of all of those things. Doing this, you know, there might be someone here who listens and says, you know what, I'll go along to that game. And I think that's something that will generate all the, you know, the spectators to come and watch. You know, we put in a good show. It's a good game to watch.
John, you've scored 18 goals this month. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Could we have nicked a couple of them off of one of the other games and put them in yesterday?
Yeah, it would have been nice, actually. Yeah, saved some of the New Haven or the Littlehampton ones and saved them for Millwall.
Yeah, but to be fair, you know, that's why I wouldn't... obviously, we don't like to lose a game, but I wouldn't be overly concerned because we've created lots of chances again. We just haven't scored as many as we should have yesterday. But like you say, those amount of goals that we've scored in the last few games have been fantastic. So we can't have it always our way as much as we'd like to.
No, it's good to see girls all gelling.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Worthing Bognor game for the men's team, where they came away with a 2-0 victory, which is totally undeserved. But there you go. That's football.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Can't get upset over everything all the time, can I?
There we go. No, that's it.
One thing I wanted to ask John is there's a player that certainly we've seen not a huge amount of, but what we've seen we've really loved, and that's Shauna Harvey. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be seeing more from Shauna in November? Because I know that she sort of doesn't have that many starts. I don't know if she's got other commitments, but she's certainly, from a spectator's point of view, she's a fantastic player to watch and very talented.
Yeah, Shauna's been unlucky. She's picked up some injuries. She's picked up illnesses recently. So yeah, she's not been available, not wanting to be available. It's a case of she's been very unlucky with things. So let's hope so, you know, because as many players as possible who are top performers will see us winning more games, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
John, we're looking forward to November. Maybe with a complete W for every match December. Let's hope so. And more rounds of the FA Cup, which would be great. So, you know, a cup upset is what we're waiting for.
No worries.
Good one.
And hopefully speak to you soon.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Thanks there to Kiwi and John for sitting down to us. Pete, you get down to the women's game quite a lot. I know you were wearing your spooky costume on Sunday at the Millwall game for Halloween. I mean, to be fair, turning up as a Millwall fan itself is scary enough, isn't it? Yeah, actually, I shouldn't say that because Adam Hinchwood's been on the podcast and we always forget that he is a Millwall fan, so I'm sure he'll
hold
to me.
I guess
someone's got to.
Do you know, I did ask him, I was driving the academy to a game not so long ago, and I said to him, do you ever fancy being Millwall boss? And he said, my game of football wouldn't suit them. Yeah, the passing game and everything. It's not the Millwall way.
No.
Back to the women's team. And yeah, all the women who have done the interviews so far, how well have they spoken? They've been absolutely brilliant, haven't they?
Well, I think it was, as we said, as we alluded to John, I don't know if it was on or off air, but we alluded to him saying, like, you know, obviously when Chloe came on first, she you could tell when she first came in, she was bricking it. To be fair to her, and I'm sure she'll admit it, because she even said it herself, she was nervous. But I think she got out of the way. She saw, you know, these two ugly, hairy men aren't going to, well, I'm the hairy one, but, you know, we're not that bad. And then, you know, having Gina along to help us along. And it's just really good as she does a lot of stuff for the women's team. So, you know, it's really, really good to get them. And they speak so well. And I actually think they're starting to get around to a point of actually enjoying sitting down with us and sort of telling us about their careers and, you know, Worthing. And it's nice to have that little fact file. It'd be interesting to hear from Gemma next month as Kiwi nominated. You know, obviously she's been around the club for a long time and has experience in football. And, you know, it's fantastic to sit down and talk with the ladies. And John's always great, as is Adam, sitting down with us every month to sort of give their thought.
No, we're in a very privileged position, really, aren't we?
We are, yeah, we are. It's nice. It's nice. And thanks to the club for supporting us and all the listeners that we're getting. You know, we get 1,000 plus people in ground day. If you spread the word of the Rebel Yell podcast, share it, tell someone else about it. Just one person. If everyone told one person, we'd double our listeners just like that.
Yeah, and the commentary as well.
Yeah.
You think of our home gates and how many people come down and...
We don't really need to know about listening figures. It's just Pete wants to put it on his CV for when he goes and gets Jeff Stelling's job at Sky, which he's resigning.
All I'm saying is just there's a service there for Worthing fans to listen to the games they can't get to. So, you know, if you know somebody at a game, tap them on the shoulder. I say, do you listen to commentary for the away games? And they go, no, never heard about it. Point into Rebel Yell.
Do you know what I think we need to do, Pete? I think we need to say to Barry and we need to say to Dave Cockeraccio and we need to say to George to let us have a little banner just with the website and the logos on around the side of the pitch, just to sort of advertise the services. It would be good because some people might see that and not know. So if you're listening, put one at the pitch. And so when you see it on your instant replay, it'll be out there. Oh, what's rebelyell.live? There we go. Thank you very much, Barry. I will see you next week. Anyway, moving on. we're about to sit down with Stu, who's joining us to talk about the youth as we record this. When it goes out, it's a bit difficult because obviously we're recording this on the Wednesday night. The youth game against Charlton Athletic is on the Thursday night and we'll be publishing this for the Friday. So it's a little bit tricky to sort of talk in terms, but Stu's going to join us and tell us about the preparation for the Charlton game. And hopefully, when you're listening to this, we'll be in the next round of the FA Youth Cup. But Stu, joining us, thank you for taking your time. How are you doing, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. As we kind of said, like it's a bit of a weird one, this, because we are talking to you the night before a big FA Youth Cup game against Charlton Athletic, but this is going out the day after. So hopefully in 48 hours from now, we will be celebrating in round two of the FA Youth Cup. Thoughts at the moment, Stu? Like, what's the feeling? Like, are you nervous, excited? And, you know, I guess it's excitement, but like, what's the whole feeling around the place?
Mate, I'm so excited, mate. I'm buzzing for the lads. I think they've thoroughly deserved the opportunity to show what they can do against a really good side like Charlton. And I just hope they enjoy the moment. And my message to them is don't let this be that the pinnacle of your career. Make sure this is the start, and you have more moments like this to enjoy throughout the rest of your footballing career. Really, I think that's got to be the main focus, is to enjoy it and try your best, and what will be, I guess, really.
Who are the players who, you know, could make the difference in the game tomorrow, do you think? I know the whole 11 could.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you say that could really, you know, make a difference?
Well, I mean, game winners can be from defence as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's we've got a solid back three, back four in Owen Spicer, Joe Rye, Ruben Austin, people like that who are just good quality centre-halves and can play out with the ball and good at putting their body on the line. You've got Maxwell Bartlett, who's just a kind of like a 10, finds pockets in behind the field and in front of the defence that just goes kind of, well, goes missing, but kind of, yeah, he just finds these pockets of spaces that are just, you just wouldn't think he can find, and he can be the difference as well. There's players all over the pitch, mate, if I'm honest with you, that can be the difference. I think it just comes down to how we apply ourselves and whether we play on the front foot or whether we sit back and let them do it. I mean, it's just how the game plans out, I guess.
So it's one of the old adages, isn't it? Play the game, not the occasion.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. I mean, I wasn't really involved with the youth setup. I wasn't involved with the youth setup for the Middlesbrough game. So I've got nothing really to compare it to. This is from my first experience of a big game in terms of the youth sides. But look, I think the boys thoroughly deserve the opportunity. They've been on an amazing run in all competitions in terms of winning game after game after game, putting in some quality performances. There's some really good lads there, really good players. So I'm just looking forward to it. I'm just looking forward to seeing what they can do and just, yeah, being on the bench and being there to support in any way I can, really.
It's a weird one because I think Charlton, obviously, as you know, is my other club. So obviously seen a lot of the youth over the years, and they've produced some amazing players, as you know, that have gone on to do like big things, like Jermaine Defoe's one of them, you know, all those players like that in the past. And that's just one of a long list. And, you know, so there's going to be possibly some future talent, which we might have in our squad as well. But was Charlton one of the names that the boys would have wanted, or was there any other teams? I'm not quite sure who's in it, or you quite sure, is it? I guess obviously it's a big name, but
I guess they just wanted a big name, mate, to be honest with you, and really kind of shone out as the team that they wanted to play. They just wanted to play a big team and at home, ideally.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want.
Stuart, is mm-hmm. Charlton really a big name?
Of course it is. It's a big club.
A bit better than Forest and your dog rush striker, Pete.
two European Cups.
Yeah, it's a big club. Of course it is. It's the ex-Premiership club, big grounds, big fan base. So of course, yeah. I mean, I've had phone calls through to the Worthing number today from Charlton fans asking about tickets and that, I expect there to be a good number there tomorrow night, and it's a good opportunity obviously I've got three or four lads from the 16s that are going to be potentially in the squad tomorrow. And it's the first occasion. And to be fair, a lot of the 18s, second year 18s as well, they would have played in front of a big crowd as well. I mean, that's the other thing to think about. I mean, I fully expect there to be 600-700 people there tomorrow. And that's a new experience for them, new big occasion. Obviously, they've got to get their heads around that as well, playing in front of a large crowd. I'm looking forward to see how they adapt and how they kind of start. It's a big opportunity for them as well to show Charlton what they can do. Do you know what I mean? To show there'll be scouts there tomorrow night and
that's what I was going to say, Stu. Like, I guess Charlton, obviously being Charlton with the academy, the professional academy, there will be sort of scouts there and all their coaches anyway. And, you know, I guess not putting Worthing down, because we're all Worthing, aren't we, really? But at the end of the day, I guess these players have got an opportunity to shine. And if someone really sticks out, and, you know, as we've said many times before, you're never going to stop a player from going higher and higher. You know, they must be treating this as almost like a free trial at Charlton, in theory.
100%, mate. Yeah, I think, yeah, you're spot on. I think it's a big opportunity, like I say, for them to show Charlton, other sides out there, that actually they can be one of the best players on the pitch, and they can be the one that makes the difference. So yeah, as I say, big opportunity, no pressure on them. Go out there, enjoy yourselves, make an impact, make a name for yourself. I think what's really refreshing for me is that there's players out there that have had opportunities before and have gone on that actually miss the club and miss the setup and actually some that want to stay here rather than go on and compete against other lads at a club like Charlton. So we're doing a lot of things right. Nathan and Pinch are, in terms of what the hours they put in and the quality that they give the boys is beyond belief in terms of their coaching skills. And it's really starting to shine, and I'm learning so much from them, and it's starting to, in terms of starting to see the benefits of it, all the hours that they're putting in with the academy boys, with the 18s, and mate, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, I saw it the other week, Stuart, to be honest. The fact that we'd had a game on a Tuesday night, and then Wednesday I was driving the minibus with the academy team, and of course they're there again. Coming with the academy team and putting the hours in. You know, a lot of other clubs, they've got other people they would hand that responsibility down to.
Yeah.
And yet Adam and Nathan are there, you know, doing all that. And I think it's such a great advert for our club and the way things are
around. It's phenomenal. Yeah, you won't get that. I don't forget any other club at this level, maybe not even at a higher level, to be quite honest with you. I think the way Hinch and Nath apply themselves to all the youth teams is a massive selling point to the club. And what I love more than anything about this club, to be quite honest with you, is the youth setup and how we apply ourselves on and off the pitch. And even the same warm-up, is it the same warm-up, the same philosophy, the same coaching methods, the same patterns of play, everything is the same from the 14s all the way up to 30. So we're giving them the best opportunity when they progress up in teams from 14s to 15s, 15s, 16s and so on and so forth. They know how to play. They know the style of play. They know what's expected of them. Obviously, they're getting better at it throughout the age groups. No one's an expert at 14, of course. But and that's what's great. It's the way it should be. And it's, I guess, a very continental way of doing things, maybe, in terms of they do things over in like Spain, maybe, or whatever it may be. But yeah, it's.
We just haven't got the weather.
No, we haven't got the weather. No, you're right. I could talk all day about it, mate. It's great.
So to prevent you talking all day about it, we'll round it up about the youth here now. What is your score prediction? Which, obviously, when this goes out, could be completely right or completely wrong. So what is your score prediction?
Mate, I don't put scores. I don't do scores. Whether it's the first.
Yeah, will we win then?
All I hope is boys go out. If they go out and give them 100%, apply themselves right attitude, effort, everything along those lines, then I can't ask for any more.
No. So just talking about the first team, Stu, it's been a fantastic month, 13 out of 15 available points. We haven't lost. We're in the next round of the trophy after a game on Saturday, just gone. Mood around the camp's obviously good. We can see it from the stands. What's it been like to be? What a month.
Mate, phenomenal. Yeah.
If 10 points clear over the green slime, 5-point advantage at the top of the table.
The green slime. If looking back at the end of September, looking at October's fixtures, you would have gone, wow, what a difficult month.
Yeah.
We've come through it without unbeaten, except from only dropping points at Enfield, if I'm right.
That's it.
What a month, mate. And it's the boys are buzzing, the change room's buzzing, everybody's, the squad's massive, we've got quality and depth, everybody's going to be needed. So, yeah, it's been a great month.
Yeah, it's been a great month. It has. And we'll hopefully we'll go November. Into this month coming up in November, mate. So we look forward to speaking to you again. We'll talk about the Charlton game and hopefully the next round of the Cup at the end of November. But Stu, thank you so much for giving up your time, talking to us this evening. And come on the boys.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Thanks, Stu, for joining us there. He's obviously very excited, Pete, as we all are. And, you know, to be honest, still talking to him there, I'd never really... realise, as you quite rightly said, oh, Charlton a big club, but to be honest, I never really thought, you know, I guess they must be buzzing, because obviously whatever league Charlton are in now is a big name, and the academy set up there, as we said, you've had so many youth players. Look, you've got Joe Aribo's playing for Rangers now in the youth set up there. You've had, I can't remember his name now, but one of the Liverpool players signed from Charlton. So there's been a lot of academy players over the years that have gone there, so it kind of must be a bit of a trial for them.
No, absolutely, they are a big club at our level,
especially for academies though, because for a League One team to have an academy like that is actually big. You don't really get that anymore, as you look what happened in a lot of them, because of the cost of running an academy. So, you know, it's in terms of academy football, it is a big name, and I'm really excited. Obviously my colours will be firmly Worthing tomorrow night.
No, it'd be absolutely fantastic if they could do it, but you know, by the time people listen to it, you should stop talking about it, because...
Yeah, we need to stop talking about it. We'll cut it now, because this could all be very out of date very quickly when this comes out. So we will talk about it more next month on the podcast. But, you know, I'm excited for it tomorrow. We're recording this on the 3rd. It's on the 4th. I hope you enjoyed it if you went. I hope it's a win. Yay, we win. We should do two edits here, like, woo, we won, or like, boo, we lost, see you later. But we'll talk about it in November.
It's one of those, isn't it? Well, that was a fantastic night at Woodside.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful, wasn't it, last night, Pete? It's such a shame. Yeah. But anyway, good luck for the youth, and I hope this is the thing. But moving on, Pete, kind of wrapping up this month's podcast, round up October in review. Thanks to everyone that's joined us. As I said to Studio, 13 points out of 15. The changing room is buzzing. We're in the next round of the trophy, the first round proper. We're in the Sussex Senior Cup. It's a shame we didn't get drawn against Loxwood, because that would have been interesting. Our chairman Barry's, I'm sure he would have liked to welcome back.
Wasn't he ex-chairman of Loxwood?
Yeah, ex-chairman of Loxwood. He's played for them, he's managed them and everything. But he did say that he really wants to beat Seaford. So maybe he'll have to come on and tell us about that rivalry sometime.
We need to walk about with the league title this season. I would happily sacrifice every other cup.
Oh, I would, yeah. I would. I mean, so, I would love to be at Wembley, but I'd rather be in the National South next season.
And if we're going to do that, we can't go out and win every tournament.
No, you can't.
We could, but that would be a mighty Herculean effort.
The league and cup double would be up there with Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool, all that.
It'd be a season there to forget if we did. But I think the priority for the club this season is basically
promotion.
Promotion.
That's what
we all want.
Yep, that's what we all want. And what else we wanted, Pete, for a long time was the complete commentary booth, but we managed to get that all knocked up now. And hopefully we're going to try and get some LED lights in to make it look really flash and swanky up there now. But we finally got the banner in front saying the home of RebelYell.live, proudly sponsored by MK Window Cleaning and Nature's Health Box. So obviously, thank you for that. If you haven't seen it, come and have a look, or look on the Instagram.
And thanks to you, James, for the banner.
That's all right, mate. That's all right. Good little nifty on my eBay.
Yeah, and obviously Mike and Angela for putting it together. I think Angela
I still can't believe it's not an out of the box sort of thing. It's amazing what Mike and Angela did. Like, it's literally been bespoke made for that size, and it's just fantastic. So thank you so much, and obviously Pricey for putting the power in free of charge comp, which was really nice of him putting the time in. And you know, it just looks really nice. It's so nice. And we sort of joked last night when we were at where were we last night? I even forgot.
Wingate
and Finchley, that we miss now having a table or somewhere to actually read, because it's so hard to not actually have anywhere to read the text and stuff like that. But hopefully Adam's sorting us out a musical stand from his school to take away with us. And we'll have to get a little A4 thing to stick on the front, the away home of RebelYell.live, a little A4 printed piece of paper. You can put it up on there. I think we're gonna have to do that, aren't we, Pete? But yeah, thank you for those guys doing that. And the commentary, if you haven't seen it, just pop up. It's next to the press box up at Woodside Road. And Pete alluded to it last night. Obviously, it costs £25 every 3 months to keep the data for the to publish the data for the commentary to come to you live. What we just going to ask,
the dongle.
Pete's dongle. As we would like to sort of ask, if you can spare a couple of quid, please do see the Supporters Association guys at the club shop on a match day. It'd be really nice of you just to, if you've got any spare change, just to chuck it in, because it just helps us. Obviously, we bring the service free of charge. It's not paid for by the club. It's paid for by the Supporters Association. And at the moment, Pete's paying for the data himself. So please, please, if you could donate anything, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and with the cost of fuel at the moment, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
but anyway, regardless, it's just, since we've had the dongle, the service has been absolutely brilliant. We've had so many problems the last few seasons, relying on internet connections from clubs, etc. Relying on roaming data, all the rest of it. And it's just, you know, it cuts in, cuts out. People are getting frustrated. We've managed to find a solution to that problem to bring uninterrupted coverage, apart from last night when the battery ran flat, which I apologise.
We'll talk about it in November. Don't worry, it's not November's.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that. That didn't happen till the end of the month.
Okay. But I think the service this season has been absolutely brilliant that we've given to the fans.
And we've got a proper jingle as well and everything, thanks to Mark, who did that for us.
Yeah. That's all been really positive. So if anybody did give up on the service, stop listening because I thought, oh, it's unreliable, please come back to us. And if you know anybody else who, you know, you can pat on the shoulder, you know, a game and say, you know, there's this commentary for the UA games, give them a pat and point them in Rebel Yell's direction.
Yeah, exactly. And just as we round it off, Pete, we've got 6 fixtures in November, currently possibly 7 due to when the Sussex Cup's played. 5 of them are leagues. We already know one of the results from last night. 15 points. Are you going for 15 again, or are you going to be a bit cautious? So we've obviously played Wingate and Finchley as we record this. We beat them 3-1. Potters Bar on Saturday. Hayes and Yedding in the trophy away. Hornchurch away. It should be a good one. Cheshunt at home. And then Haringey Borough to round off the month away.
Right. Hornchurch is going to be the hardest. But then
they're not playing great at the moment, are they?
They're struggling, aren't they? So Haringey are hit and miss. Cheshunt are 7th, I think, at the moment as we speak. So they're having quite a decent time. They were one of the teams who got promoted at the same time at Horsham, who were really struggling. But Cheshunt seem to have found their feet. But we're at home against Cheshunt, so I've got to go 3 points there. Let's start with Saturday. Worthing Potters Bar. It's got to be a Worthing win.
Mm-hmm.
Hayes and Yedding away, that's FA Trophy, so
I think we might just nudge it. I think we could just nudge it. It'll be a very close match, whatever.
It's going to be a tough one, that is.
Yeah,
I would not like to call it at this point. But back to the league, away at Hornchurch, it's going to be tough. I know they're struggling, but away from home, that's going to be tough. So home against Cheshunt, I'm going to go 3 points. Away against Haringey, I'll go 3 points. Hornchurch, Worthing, I'm going to go a full house.
Okay, I'm going 12 out of 15. I just got a feeling the Hornchurch game could be a bogey one for us, but they aren't playing great at the moment. We'll wait and see. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to this month because last month's been great. October has been fantastic. We really are great to be at the top of the league, looking down on everyone. As I said, mind the gap for a certain other team down the road.
And a 9-point lead for us at the end of the month.
That would be fantastic, because now after last night's win and Folkestone's draw, they can only catch up with us to be equal on points. They'll be above us on goal difference as it stands. So fingers crossed that happens at least, or they lose a couple. But I am really happy, Pete. It's been a great month. Thank you for your company in the commentary booth and again tonight. And we hope Spence will be back next month and actually can witness some football COVID-free, bless him. And we hope you get better soon. And thanks to Gina for her input on the women's team, which is always great and appreciated.
Absolutely. And she's been suffering as well.
So. Yeah, she had COVID as well, but not as bad as Spence, which is good. So love to them all. And once again, thank you for listening. Follow us on the socials at Rebel Yell WFCSA on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Come see us on match day. Any donations, you said, please drop any spare change to the... We'll have to tell Amanda that, because she'll probably go, what the hell is this for? So we'll have to say we've shouted it out on air, and then Pete's going to keep shouting out. So any spare change, that would be amazing. But for myself, James and Pete and the rest of the Rebel Yell team, a very good evening and up the Rebels.
Yeah, good night.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.